I'm going to welcome actually probably four, maybe even five special guests to the air right now. What's your name?
Cassie Prentice.
And how old are you?
11.
You must have just had a birthday. What was it?
It was June, but I'm still June 8th.
June 8th. The questions get easier, I promise. Happy belated birthday. Where do you go to school?
Well, I just got out of Minadeo in Squirrel Hill, but I'm going to Kappa.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's exciting. Did you have to audition?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
Visual arts.
Good for you. You've got to be really excited about starting there.
Yeah.
Congrats. Let's meet this person. That was Cassie. What's your name?
Vanessa.
Hi. How old are you?
8.
And do you go to Minadeo?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you might because you two are sisters. And what grade are you going into?
3rd.
And you've got two friends there with you. Who are those people sitting on the counter between you and me?
Peace sign and Barry.
Yeah, I guess they're not people. They're bears, and they're very nice ones. Peace sign. Well, do you want to describe them to people who are listening and can't see?
Mm-hmm.
Describe what they look like?
Peace sign has peace signs and hearts on her. And right now she's wearing a dress that has a star and says BFF on it. And then Barry is her dad, and he's like beige, and he has a shirt with Olaf from Frozen on it in summer.
I really like his shirt. It almost looks like one of those Hawaiian shirts that you'd see. You could spot him in a crowd. So what do you like to do for fun?
I like to play with my friends, and I also like to, during the year, sometimes I go to gymnastics on Thursdays, and I go to soccer in the spring, and this year I went to acting classes.
You're very busy. You've got a lot going on. And I wanted to talk to Cassie a little bit more. What do you like to do during the summer?
Mostly just hang around home. I like going on vacation if it's places that I want to go.
I was like that. My parents said, let's go to Old Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts. Or Williamsburg. Let's go to Colonial Williamsburg, which to me was not much fun. Are you going away any time this summer?
Yeah, on Monday we're going to Stone Harbor, New Jersey.
That's a nice place. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
We go there every year.
You mentioned visual arts before. Can you tell me the kinds of things you like to do?
Mostly I'm just, I like to use markers and pens and stuff. Sometimes painting, but mostly just that stuff.
And what kinds of drawings, or I should say, you know, art do you like to make? I don't want to assume they're drawings.
Mostly, sometimes just sculptures out of the middle of nowhere. Or just doodles, really.
Sculptures, drawings of sculptures?
No, or just doodles and then also sculptures.
What materials do you use for sculpting?
Clay, stuff like that.
Cool. I'm just always interested in that kind of stuff. So you two are here. First, I'm so happy you're here. But somebody you know is going to play. Careful listeners might have noticed that the last name of these two girls was the same as the last name of our performer this hour. Jessie's got two daughters. You guys don't? Do you guys have brothers and sisters?
No.
Mm-mm, just us.
And if you had to describe your dad, I'll ask you each this in three words. What three words would you pick? I think Vanessa's like excited. Do you know what three words you'd pick?
Mm-hmm.
What three words?
He's awesome, funny, and nice.
Awesome, funny, and nice. And Cassie?
Goofy and funny and...
Fun.
Fun.
That too.
Those are all good words. Would you like to introduce him for his first song?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll let the two of you do that.
So here is our dad singing
Jesse
his song.
Prentice.
Yes, Jesse Prentice singing his song about a hippopotamus.
Or something.
Or something.
A is his ankle, B could be his bum, C could be his chin. Now see what we've done. If we know that the angle is right, if we don't try this in the middle of the night, with a pencil, a tape measure, and sufficient light, we can calculate the hypotenuse of a hippopotamus. You take the length from ankle to bum squared, plus the length from bum to chin squared. It equals the length from ankle to chin squared. Doesn't have to be, but it's easier if it's a right square. Cause it's the angle and the length of two sides. In a right triangle, the third side is implied. As Pythagoras teaches us, we can all of us, exactly each of us, we can calculate the hypotenuse of a hippopotamus. Oh, yeah.
I love it. Did you write that?
Yes, I did.
It's what a great song. What did you have any inspiration for that, or how did that
I wrote it about? A couple years ago when Cassandra was maybe 5, 6, and it was just a funny song to play for her. We were watching a lot of Sesame Street at the time. So
it's I don't like to draw comparisons, but that song would hold up with any educational song I think I've ever heard, and also with novelty songs, intelligent novelty songs. Vanessa has her hand up.
Yes.
Vanessa, that's very good. Minadeo does good things for kids. What did you want to interject?
I wanted to add something to the three things that I said.
Oh, okay. This just in. There's a fourth thing. What is it?
Creative.
That's very nice.
Thank you.
Do you want to see that creative and raise it another adjective? Cassandra?
I can't think of any other words. I've been thinking the whole time. It's just like,
that's why you're a visual artist.
I'm not a writer.
It's nice to have both of you here. How now, you've been playing for a long time, right?
Yes,
tell
I
me,
have.
And folks know Jesse as a side musician, I think, primarily, and also as the person that Mix Acousta Cafe run and work. So there's, let's just talk a little bit about you. Where were you raised and how did you get to Pittsburgh?
Oh, I grew up here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, whereabouts?
In the South Hills in Mount Lebanon.
Okay.
And knew a bunch of people who were all in bands in high school, and we all kind of stuck with music and went into different bands and joined each other. And I got in the habit of being able to fill in with other people. I'd learn their songs, and so that on a moment's notice, they can be like, hey, you want to come over and play this show with us? And I'd learn their songs and do it. So I do that pretty frequently. And in the last month, I played with the Common Heart over at the Deutschtown Music Festival. I played with Silencio over at the Fun House. And I'm just available for people. And Acoustic Cafe, as a open stage series, we try to have it so that people all do that. There's, you know, you can just bring people up on stage with you and ask them to play along with you and try to find their way through a song, or give them a quick chart and try to, it helps to sharpen their chops, and it's fun.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that last hour, in fact, improvising or just getting together with somebody you haven't played with can be a real challenge, but it's also a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
I say that not as somebody that makes music. It's a lot of fun to listen to, but I know my friends who do make music enjoy it. And I likened it before. It's one reason I'm pretty insistent that we do what we do here live, because it's fun.
Yes.
You know, who knows what these girls might say at any given moment, let alone you.
That's right.
Did you leave Pittsburgh at all during that time?
Only to go to England for an exchange term, and then I was at Allegheny College in Meadville, and that's where I met my wife Anita, who's also sitting here. And so then we moved back to Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's great that Pittsburgh kept you, or that you kept Pittsburgh. So you're playing a great guitar, and a nice jazz guitar is what I would call it. It sounds beautiful.
Thank you.
Have you had that for a while?
Yes.
Is it your preferred?
I just moved to it this year. I've had it for a very long time. I was playing a resonator guitar for a while with one of those big, like, kind of looks like a dobro, big metal pan in it.
But you get sued if you call that a dobro.
I know. It's definitely not a dobro. It looks like one.
Looks like
it
one.
It is a resonator guitar. And I just got kind of tired of that tone, and I gravitated towards this guitar, which is it's an Epiphone, but it's like the Gibson SSG, the copy of those ones, so a little knockdown. But I like the way it sounds.
No, it sounds terrific. This is Jesse Prentice, who you're listening to. I'm going to try to put a picture of him up on our Facebook page so you can see him. And after the next song he does, we'll talk a little bit about Acoustic Cafe and how you might be able to get involved in it. What would you like to do next?
Do a song. Well, I guess it's not as educational, but it does have a little element of the daylight savings time. I was glad to see the sunlight. I got tired of seeing nothing. The times changed, and the time changed. You sprung forward, I fell back among the wreckage you attract, and you're gone like some half-forgotten song. When you get to the end of the lines, you know the next thing you sing will probably go la 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 la. You left and spring arrived. It just seemed coincidental, full of meaning and potentially. It mattered in matters that matter to me, and a sly way to sneak out a message you see. You're gone like some half-forgotten song. When you get to the end of the lines, you know the next thing you sing will probably go la 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 la.
Another nice song. You like these short songs,
yes.
Don't you? It shows. I was going to say, would that, I don't think you're a guy looking for radio airplay necessarily, but I was trying to decide if that's an advantage or a disadvantage.
Yeah, just sneak it in as a little minute and 5 second songs.
Some folks, maybe 20 years ago or so, it's a kid's record, and every song had to be exactly a minute.
Oh, okay.
And they asked some artists to do this, and some of the songs are wonderful. But from my perspective, a minute song really keeps you on your toes. You have to be careful.
You have to be ready to talk at the end of it.
So Acoustic Cafe, let's talk about it. Some people frequently hear it about it and hear it, but the what, the when, the where, the why, all of that stuff.
Okay.
Because there might be some new folks that have never heard about it, or who might not realize that doors are always open for people getting involved.
Okay. Well, we just recently moved. We're at the Fun House, which is a new space at Mr. Small's over in Millvale. So it's a 175 capacity, so we got a little more space than we had before. We had been at Club Cafe for years. It happens every Monday at 6 o'clock. The doors open, so people can come in and they sign in. They're not signing up yet. They're just signing in just so that they don't have to wait in line the whole time. And then at 7 o'clock, they get to sign in the order that they arrived. It's free. It's 21 and over once you get to 7 o'clock, but we normally have a 18 and over stage. And we can be flexible about that, too, from 6 to 7 so that some younger people get a chance to get on there. But it is a bar, so it's hard to have the under 21 folks there. But we have a rotating cast of hosts, so usually maybe they might do it once, twice a year. All the original songwriters that are friends of ours that are regulars get brought in to host the night and introduce people and bring in other friends and bring in featured guests. And we invite people from out of town, you know, people touring through to do featured sets in the middle of the thing. And so we have comedy and music and spoken word and everything.
And it's every Monday.
Every Monday.
That's really fantastic.
It's
and
fun.
Are most nights pretty full?
Yes. I mean, for a Monday night, we can have 50 to 80 people there. Usually, I mean, at least the list is always full, and then we usually run overtime, and people really get a lot of good collaboration with each other. They mix and match. They join each other on songs. They give each other songs. It's very much a community atmosphere, and we also enhance that by having a house band. So we have some of our regular players who are, we kind of make sure they're there to be percussionist, bass player, keyboard, maybe saxophone, you know, some sort of a solo instrument. And if people want them, they just ask them to join them on stage and they can just be there for it.
So if somebody maybe wanted to read a poem they wrote,
yes,
or maybe even read a passage from a book they feel very passionate about, they could maybe turn to the musicians and say, if you'd like to, feel free to noodle around as you see fit.
Yes.
And you'll end up making art right on stage in front of everybody without necessarily knowing what's going to happen.
Right.
That sounds really great.
Well, I think she's been a guest of yours before. Joanna Lowe, has she been down
here?
Sure. Your poet?
Yeah.
She does that regularly at Acoustic Cafe. She just brings people up and she'll say, the name of this song is Miles Davis. And no more musical direction than that. And we just make something up behind her and try to create a cool atmosphere to put her poetry over. So, and she's used that to good effect, I think.
What a great thing. Instead of watching television, you know, watch people.
Right.
Watch your neighbors. And it sounds, is there food?
There is a kitchen.
That's great.
Yeah, a kitchen and a bar.
So you can enjoy yourself. This is every Monday night. Doors open at 6. You can see some youth performing. It's 21 and over, more or less. And then at 7, sign-ups begin, and I imagine the show starts around 7:30.
Yeah, 8. Around 7:15 usually. We try to get everybody up and down. We usually get about 20, 25 acts up and down in the course of the night. Yeah,
that's
we get about 10 minutes each. So,
and are they all solos?
It can be anything. We have solo, duo, and again, people using the house band to back them up. So, any combination of things, as long as it's 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's really. Did you begin this series?
No, actually, my friend Mark Wilson started it, and also with Christy Strickler and Sherilyn Hawk, you might know as a songwriter too. Like they started it a good 5-6 years before, maybe even longer than that, before I got involved. And then Mark went on to other things, and I just started taking up the who was the host and making sure things moved smoothly. I don't have to do a whole lot. Mostly I stand in the back of the room and applaud.
Well, it's good. Somebody has to, you know, tend to the fire and keep
yes.
it going. I mean, because it's really important. It helps make the community a great place to live. It really does. When you have features like this, so to speak. I can remember going on vacation and just recently, Ricky and I were in Hilton Head, and we discovered this little jazz club that was in a shopping center, and we kind of looked at it and said, really? And we had read such great reviews. It was a Monday night.
Okay.
The place was packed. In fact, we couldn't get in for the first show. It was all locals. They found a nice place. They were great to us. They found a nice place for us to stand to watch the first show, and then we were able to be seated. But it makes me want to be in that community,
right?
Because it has that kind of, I don't want to be so clinical to call it an amenity, but when you have something like that, it's
right.
Really important.
No, it's a thing to look forward to. And you know, for most musicians, part of that community, I think, is that we're playing other places and on weekends. You know, you've got gigs, you might be going out of town, but usually Monday's kind of a dead night for you. So you go and try out your new material. I've just wrote that this week, so I want to put it in front of people. You haven't even taught it to the rest of your band yet, anything like that. And they get to bounce ideas off of other songwriters that they respect and enjoy, and like get some feedback from people and see, because they're a really good listening crowd there. Like, people really pay attention and are in the habit of shushing other people whenever, you know, that people start talking too much. Everyone turns around, and really pay attention, because it's your fellow human's creativity that you're celebrating. You're just happy to see other people get involved in stuff that they like. So.
Yeah. This is Jesse Prentice, who's talking right now. Father of two lovely daughters. Cassandra is here, and also here is Vanessa. Vanessa, it looks – Cassandra, Cassie, it looks like your younger sister – likes to interject or add things a lot. Is that true? Does she like to add things to conversations?
Yes.
It seems so.
She will multiple times she has interrupted me as I'm saying something.
She's really got a...
Just to add the tiniest detail. She is so logical and so, like, I'll say, yeah, because that is so fun. And then she'll say, no, it wasn't fun at all. That was really awful.
So she's kind of left-brained, I think. Is that, or right-brained? I don't know which sides those are. But she's the other side. You two
she's
are different.
Very, very detailed.
Is your mom like that?
Not really.
Or your dad? No? She's your mom shaking her head. No. I'm not. Well, anyway, you did want to interject. And go ahead and do that.
I wanted to say that Daddy says that I should be a lawyer when I grow up.
How come?
Because of what she just said.
Because you're good at arguing logic and...
Oh, yes.
Interesting.
She has an intuitive sense of where the failing point of an argument is, and she's just like, oh, that right there, that's the weak point. And
that's a pretty amazing thing to have, actually. Can you think of an example when you know, your sister discovered like that something was just not possible?
Mostly when I use sarcasm. Or when I use, you know, just like a, what's it called? What did you say she was, Daddy?
A lawyer.
Intuitive or?
Very, very.
Literal.
Very literal.
A literal. Interesting.
She will find the smallest detail if you say it wrong or if you do it wrong or if you just don't use it right. She will correct you and she will tell you that you are wrong.
And is she usually right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
embarrassingly, yes.
You also have a really great giggle. You do. Do you know who the Pillsbury Doughboy is?
No.
You know, on those commercials, you would tap him in the stomach and he would go like that. But you could be she could be a stand-in. You could be just an amazing giggle. You two seem to get along really well. I think.
No.
It's,
no.
Oh.
No.
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 Uh oh. Well, how many years apart are you?
You're three.
Three.
Sometimes two. Cause
sometimes
my,
two.
Because my birthday is later than hers, so sometimes I'll be.
My birthday is February 9th.
And mine is June 8th. So sometimes I'll be 2 years older than her, and sometimes I'll be three.
So your birthday is February 9th, and her birthday is in June. So whose birthday comes first?
Me.
But then whose birth date comes first? Oh, she got it. That was my little test of the logic in you.
I was born in 2005, and she was born in 2009.
Let me see if...
2008.
Let me see.
Eight.
If, so she just corrected you on your own birthday.
No, on her birthday.
I mean...
I still think of her as five, so...
Sometimes you call me 7, 6, 5.
I know. And I call myself 10, so I'm really bad at remembering dates. Okay?
Would you two like a radio show together? It would be great. I could see this happening. It would be a really great thing. Do you have puzzles? Do you like puzzles? Do you ever challenge people with riddles and stuff?
Sometimes.
Well, I like, sometimes, but most of the time we, like, play outside or sit on the couch and watch a show.
Mostly she,
sits on the couch and watches a show.
Yes, she's been doing that a lot.
What do you watch?
I watch, a couple, like, three different shows.
She usually, watch because it. I walk
now
back and forth in the room.
There's a new, series and a show that I watched the whole two series of. Wait, what? Yeah, two. And then there's another season that just came. So now I'm watching a lot of a show called Liv and Maddie.
Sometimes she'll be just hours upon hours. She'll just be sitting in the couch and she'll just go.
But I have to say I do somersaults a lot while I'm
because
watching
we have
the show.
We have a pop song. Yeah. We have the cushion. We took it off and we put it in the living room because it was for a sleepover or something. And
no,
we just
I
left
put
it there.
In the living
yeah.
on the floor.
And then she just started doing somersaults while she's watching
yeah.
her show.
And now I know how. And since I've been doing that, I learned how to stand up and do a somersault.
Yeah. Which I've been able to do for 5 years.
To stand up? Do you mean like a cartwheel?
Yeah. No, I'm standing up and then I put my head down and roll.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah.
I wasn't good at any of those.
I also know how to do cartwheels, though.
Cassie and Vanessa, the two of them together, talking. They're the daughters of Jesse. Your life really changed, I'll bet, when you
absolutely.
Had these two girls.
Yep.
I'm watching Jesse with a big smile on his face. He's here today. We were just talking about Acoustic Cafe. Have you recorded anything?
Of my own
yeah.
music?
No. No. I'll tell you, those little ditties are fun. Would you like to play another song?
Sure, I would.
Here, again, Jesse Prentice.
All right, so this is a song that my wife Anita and I have noticed very often how often you drive around and somebody, there's a near miss accident and you see exactly where you would have hit on that person's car already has damage to it because they do that all the time.
I just want to ask Vanessa, how do you feel about the phrase near miss? Think about it. Like it's called a near miss. That's when like two things.
Doesn't hit.
It's really close, but it doesn't happen. But isn't that really just a miss?
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to a near miss. I thought the logician in you would be frustrated.
It's nearly a miss.
But it is a miss.
It is a miss. So
yeah, but it's
a near miss
not
would
a miss.
Be if you hit them, but you almost miss them. See? I'm smarter.
Although our language has decided to use it as that. We also
right.
say close proximity all the time. Only one is necessary.
Right.
it's close, but it's in a proximity.
Yeah.
Close, but it's in a proximity.
It's both.
Yes.
Both.
We won't get into jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
That's another program. And I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's all right.
Go ahead.
Well,
I can see by the dent in your driver's side door that you've made the same dumb mistake before. There's a pattern etched in rust, describes a web of misplaced trust. It might have been daring or uncaring what you got hit for. You don't stop, you push through. That's your excuse for what you do. You screwed up, but that's you. There's nothing else that you could do. And all your life was drawn by your decisions or indecisions. They led to collisions. They left their marks on you. And every bruise is yesterday's news. What did you choose or fail to choose to do? You don't stop, you push through. That's what you fooled yourself is true. You screwed up, but that's you. There's no one left to fool but you, dear you.
Jesse, you're a good songwriter.
Thank you.
These are really fun. How long have you been writing songs? I mean, were you doing it as a kid?
Yeah, I guess. Well, probably, again, from high school, when I started getting interested in playing in bands. I started playing the drums, and I wanted to write songs, so I kind of had to teach myself the other instruments so that I could write the songs, and so I showed people stuff. My dad had showed me the beginnings of guitar. I'd learned some basic stuff there, and he was a drummer, so I had his drums, so I had an instrument. That's
who did he play with?
He played with some bands around the area, and some of those guys are still active. Don Zaplicki, a friend of his that I bought my current bass from. He plays with Gary Bologna. He plays with a couple of blues bands around here. And so they were in a band together back in the late 60s.
Gary's the Blues Bombers,
right?
Yeah. You had mentioned earlier you went to Allegheny. What did you go there to study?
Art. So I did painting and a political science minor.
Excellent. No, I really am enjoying the craft of the songs that you're doing. Do you find much time to write?
They just come, you know, just once in a while, just something kind of a line strikes me out of the blue. And that's why I guess the songs are so short, too. It's like I kind of have a little thread to pull on. And then when it feels like it's unraveled, that's the end of the song. It's like, that's all I wanted to say with that.
Yeah.
And so they don't happen often. And I was telling John earlier that because I'm there all the time for Acoustic Cafe, it feels like it'd be overwhelming because I'm constantly playing. So it's just the nice thing about it is I get a song, you know, maybe every month, couple of months or something like that, and I feel like playing it, and I can go up and play it there. I have a place to share it with people. So.
I think that's one thing. I think about this every now and then. The era we're living in, to some extent, allows there are fewer constraints. A good example is an album pretty much used to be 12 songs.
Right.
Gotta have 12. That's what'll sell. That's what fits, six per side. And
right.
We get a number of, you know, nearly all of our music these days is delivered digitally. But it's kind of funny. The old school guys and girls and labels, still 12 songs.
Right.
But some folks, of course, or not of course, but some folks might just have three songs.
Exactly.
Or four songs.
Right.
And who came up with 12 songs? Well, it was all about the physical capabilities of, you know, a 12-inch diameter vinyl disc and what it could fit on it.
And that's, well, I mean, when they first came out with CDs, I remember that it was based on the complete Beethoven symphonies or something. It's like, so that's where 74 minutes came from. It's like end to end. They didn't want to release that, make that standard until it could contain that entire body of music.
Never heard that.
Yeah,
what an interesting...
And I remember a really great story when I was in college about poets, and it was an article that a person had written that they were writing long, flowery prose, and it just went on and on, like big epic poems, and then they hit a change, and their teacher, their professor said, you know, your poems just got all short and terse and whatever. They didn't realize he changed notebooks. So he used to write on a big notebook, and then he got one of those little memo pads, and suddenly all of his poetry got – it just fit the media that it was
in.
Wow.
I notice that with emails. Sometimes when I get out of bed, I'll look at my phone mm-hmm. to see what's going on, and I'll see like what looks like an epic message.
Yeah.
And I'll admit it every now and then. I'm saying, I can't believe – why is this person sending me this huge email
right.
about this simple topic, and then I'll get to a computer and it's like a sentence.
Right. It just fills up your whole phone at once, right?
It's all what a concept. Context actually
yep.
matters. Speaking of context, I think we're about to leave it for just a moment. Yes, dear.
I wanted to ask how many songs Daddy had.
Oh, we're not. I shouldn't have assumed we were leaving context, because from what I understand with you, you're always in context. How many songs he's written? Do you know how many?
No, I mean how many songs he has right now.
Oh, he has right now. I think he's going to do one or two more, up to him, I think. Or zero more. I'm not sure.
I could do one.
Maybe one more.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to play an instrument ever or write songs?
I was like 4. I used to always want to play violin because I thought it fitted with my name. But then I changed my mind, and then I wanted to play guitar. And so
okay, no, you didn't. Tried to learn guitar, and then you said that you didn't want to. And then I learned
I
piano,
was going.
And you sat there watching Viv and Maddie.
No.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
You have a good voice, too. You've got a real ability to, this is a compliment, like a nice little sarcastic edge that I'm detecting.
Yeah.
No.
That's kind of my personality also.
You didn't. Yeah. One of the, you know, there's such a thing as a double positive. You know, you hear about double negatives
yeah.
all the time. The double positive is, yeah, right. So what's the story? She didn't like guitar.
So she,
excuse us while we tell you about your life.
So Daddy said that we would start doing music stuff in the mornings. So I said, I'll learn piano. And then Vanessa said she'll learn guitar. So Vanessa...
I sat
Vanessa
in the kitchen.
Sat in the kitchen
playing
on the iPad.
Playing
you were not playing guitar.
S-I-Y.
Daddy had to force you play to guitar.
Daddy told me to sit on the chair, and he gave me the guitar, and I was playing that song that you played on the piano.
No, because I sat down in the mornings, and I would play piano, and
yeah.
then you would sit
okay,
down in the kitchen.
Guys, instead of arguing, why don't you talk about musical that
oh,
you came up with?
We
That's
have,
a nice thing.
We have a musical thing that we do yeah. every year in Stone Harbor with our family.
We have
and
cousins.
Some our cousins come from New York, and one of our cousins' boyfriends always comes.
Okay.
But
okay, so
and
we have cousins come from New York.
And we play music. We sing songs at the musical.
Do you see what I mean about
and
her
we,
interrupting
okay,
me now?
Okay.
And we call...
What is this called, though?
The musical.
We call
we
it music cow because that's what I thought it always was, but it's actually musical.
That's what I was trying to figure out which it is. So you call it music cow. Like
but
m-
now
m-
everybody
moo.
Calls it musical.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a
now.
Family
yeah.
tradition.
And this year, our grandpa made... T-shirts for everybody, and I thought of an idea for him to get fabric markers so that
if
we
only
could,
you could see the look on Cassie's so face that, right now
so that we could
She's
write
up.
Our names and sign each other's shirts.
Well, that's
I
a great
that
idea.
Okay. Vanessa.
You can talk now.
Okay, so.
take it.
Okay, so at the Music Hall, we have cousins from Philadelphia, we have cousins from Washington, D.C., and we have cousins, we have just people from here.
Always.
And stop it.
Okay.
This is her turn now. Let's let her.
So we have, we all pick a song that we're going to sing. We can sing it with somebody else or we can just sing it on our own.
Oh, cool.
And Daddy usually plays the guitar for whoever is playing a song with guitar in it. And then
What song do you pick, or what's an example of a song you've picked?
Well, Mommy once picked that song by Sia called Chandelier, and so we all just joined in and sang it.
You're a good big sister. You're really patient.
I'm not patient at all.
I think you're remarkably
I'm
patient.
I'm absolutely not patient
Sometimes
at all.
Sometimes I'm patient, but when I'm talking, I'm usually not patient.
I'm impatient for everything. You put me in a line, I will shove people.
No.
Yes.
No.
I've done
no.
that before for a water fountain.
Well, maybe you're yelling at yourself.
I don't yell at myself.
Why would you yell at yourself?
I mean, yelling in your head.
You gotta speak into the microphone.
Yelling in your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can do this joke for Vanessa in honor of the Music Cow. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
cow.
I knew that joke.
And I figured you might. I figured you might.
Because our next-door neighbor, Rachel. Moo. Our next-door neighbor, Rachel, does it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, your daddy has one more song to play. And would you like to introduce him again? And would you like to thank him for being on the Saturday Light
yes.
Brigade?
Can we say hi to our family?
Oh, for goodness sakes, yes. Thank you for reminding me to give you that opportunity. Please.
Say hi to Googie and Papa, who are probably listening right now, because Daddy said that they were. Mm-hmm. And
hello.
I think the Jam Jam might be listening to you, too.
And Uncle
hello.
Jam.
Hello.
Stop it. But
Jam
we love
my
you
brother
guys.
Who lives in Morocco, so we may have international.
Yay. Okay, here's Daddy
Who
with his last song. I don't know what it is, but.
Okay.
Continue.
Whoever else is listening.
Whoever else is listening that we know.
All right, this is a really old song of mine, and it's a lullaby.
Jesse, thanks for being with us
Thank
today.
Thank you for having
you
me.
You can clap. Let's clap for your dad. Acoustic Cafe, there's a website or
yes,
Facebook
page. Yes, acousticcafe.org. It'll just redirect to our Facebook page, but go there and see. We have events every week. This week is being hosted by Mike Medved, songwriter. And so it's a new host every week and often new features every week. So
look for them, and we've linked to Jesse's Facebook page as well. Thanks again,
Thank
Jesse Prentice, for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Cleared off the table, the leftovers saved.